looking at grace in the Old Testament, tell us that for Christians, the word grace is virtually synonymous with the gospel of God's gift of unmerited salvation in Jesus Christ. And to express this, the New Testament writers used the Greek word charis, which had a long previous history in secular Greek. Related to the word for joy or pleasure, charis originally referred to something delightful or attractive in a person, something which brought pleasure to other people, to others. From this, it came to have the idea of a favor or kindness done to someone, or of a gift which brought pleasure to another. Viewed from the standpoint of the recipient, it was used to refer to the thankfulness felt for a gift or favor. Gift or favor. Gift or favor. Can you think about anyone in the Old Testament days who received a gift or a favor from God in particular? These meanings, gift or favor, also appear in the biblical use of charis, but only in the New Testament does it come to have the familiar sense which grace bears for Christians. Doesn't mean that's the only place where it shows up. That's where the familiar sense really came into play. Look at this, grace in the Old Testament. There's no one word in the Hebrew Old Testament that's equivalent to the New Testament use of charis for God's unmerited gift of salvation. The translators of the Greek Old Testament characteristically translated the Hebrew word shanan, chin, as charis, and the King James Version likewise often translated as grace or favor or mercy. Grace or favor or mercy. The Hebrew verb chanan occurs 56 times in the Old Testament and refers to the kind turning of one person to another in an act of assistance, such as aid to the poor. In the Psalms, it's frequently used to call upon the gracious assistance of God in times of need. Remember what I shared with you now. One of the definitions, literal definitions of the word favor, particularly in the context of Genesis 6 and 8, is graciousness. And here we have it, that in the Psalms, which we know is in the Old Testament, that word is frequently used to call upon the gracious assistance of God in times of need. So, for example, listen to this. Psalm 4 and 1 says, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." And remember now, one of the things that they've told us is that that word that's used for charis in the Old Testament often translates as grace or favor or mercy. And charis, of course, again, is the Greek for grace. And in the Old Testament, is often translated as grace or favor or mercy. And here in Psalm 4 and 1, we hear David asking God to be merciful to him. He is literally asking for God's grace, for God's mercy, for God's grace. Now, as we talk through this, I want you to think about how very often we will, in trying to properly understand God's word, we don't only look for specific scriptures that say specifically what we're looking for, but often we look for scriptures that contain the principle that we're looking for. Do the same thing here. As we're talking about God's grace and God's justice, look for specific words that point to God's grace, but also look for the principles that are taught or shared in the scripture passages that we'll be reading throughout. So Psalm 4 and 1, "Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." How about Psalm 6 and 2? Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. Be merciful to me. And again, remember, the Greek charis, translated in the Hebrew word, which often translates as grace or favor or mercy. Now listen to Psalm 25 and 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Gracious, a form of the word grace. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Or you could say, turn to me and show grace to me. I know that it's tempting. You know, when we read the word, we see the word grace mentioned so many times in the word, in the New Testament, to conclude that grace was not in play before the New Testament. But it really was. God not only having grace as part of his character, but extending it and expected, being expected by his faithful people to extend his grace. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Now recall that they've let us know that the word written charis in Greek translates to grace or favor or mercy in the Hebrew, which, of course, is referring to the Old Testament when we talk about the Hebrew language. So here we are now in Psalm 31, verse 9. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. Be merciful again, he's asking. Be merciful to me. And again, recall, the writers in Psalms often calling upon the gracious assistance of God. In other instances, God is said to make a person attractive or favorable in the eyes of someone else. For example, Genesis 12 and 36. And this is something that we're so familiar with. Exodus 12 and 36. When God was delivering his people from Egypt, getting ready to take them on to the promised land. In verse 33, it reads, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people. Favorably disposed toward the people. That's an act of grace. And they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. We're studying about God's grace and God's justice so we can learn more about him. All right. I'll be back.